Today I want to talk to you about restoring honor is our theme for the year, but today I want to talk to you about those God honors. How many of you want to be somebody that God honors you? He honors your life. What does it take and how do we get there? So we're going to look into the Gospels, into the Gospel according to Luke, and we're going to read how Jesus responded about honor. I'll begin, and as we get to the bold words, I'll invite you to read those along with me aloud. Then he turned to his host. When you put on a luncheon or a banquet, and how many like luncheons or banquets? Okay, I think most of you here are alive. He said, don't invite your friends, your brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors, for they will invite you back, and that will be your only reward. Let's read together. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, what a blessing to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to tell the guest, come, the banquet is ready. And then let's read this next sentence. But they all began making excuses. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't make excuses. Don't make excuses. One said, I've just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me. Another said, I just got married, so I can't come. We can almost understand that one. And the servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, read it with me, go quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. After the servant had done this, he reported, there's still room for more. So his master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. And let's read together the finality of this. For none of those I first invited will even get the smallest taste of the banquet. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We do honor it. We know it is alive and it is powerful today. So Lord, give us insights, encourage us, help us to be people that you can bless. We look forward to that great kingdom when we sit to, kingdom banquet when we sit down with you. May your blessing be upon each one who's hearing today. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said together, amen. You may be seated. Well, as we think about this story, Jesus' hearers were not that different than we are today and people around the globe. People from every culture grow up with stories about the good in their culture and the bad in their culture, but everybody wants something better, right? Every culture, as we think about what's going on in Ukraine today and Russia, how sad, how heartbreaking it is for a memory of just what it is like. The maniacal thoughts of some of these leaders. My dad, when he was elementary school age, he had born here but went back to Italy, and he marched as a black shirt when Mussolini was in charge there and was able to escape and come back to the United States and have their freedom here. But how horrible it is for that to happen. But Jesus is with these people who are normal like us, and he arrives in this Jewish culture, and he refers to himself. May want to write this down. He refers to himself as the Son of Man. Now, why is that important, Pastor? Because the Jews believe the Son of Man would be the one who would usher in the kingdom of God. So they, if you go back in the Old Testament in Daniel chapter 7, there's the prophecy of the Son of Man, one who would stand at the right hand of the Ancient of Days. So he would stand at the right hand of God the Father. So here is the Son of Man. He's calling himself the Son of Man. He's talking about the kingdom of God. In context, they're thinking about, well, there is the Son of Man that was prophesied who's going to come. And he's not just going to control inflation or bring justice to the world. All those things are important. But he is going to usher us into a brand new age, an age when you won't have to think of any of those things anymore. So if you're listening as Jesus is talking and you're putting yourself in the hearer's place, they were thinking well beyond lowering gas prices and going to the grocery store and having their bills inflated. Jesus was saying, I came to change the way you live and the way you think. And most importantly, I came so that you can have a relationship with God the Father. That's why he came. The Son of Man came to do that and to give his life for us. He describes in this parable, this story, he describes the kingdom of God as a feast, a great party. Anybody here like to party? Anybody here like to party too much? And some people have to tell you, wait a minute, you can't, your whole life can't be a party. You gotta get on with life. This coming Wednesday, what begins in the religious calendar, Wednesday, starts the season of what? Lent, a season of 7 weeks looking forward, thinking about Easter, thinking about the cross and the sacrifice that was paid for us. But as I was listening to the news yesterday, and they're talking about it, and they're talking about what's going on in New Orleans right now and up until Tuesday, Tuesday's called what? Fat Tuesday, where you just party, and they're talking about, oh, it's a wonderful family event. And I'm like, oh, what kind of family are you talking about? There's so much drunkenness and sexuality and immorality, and that's the way the world parties. That's what the world thinks of when they think of a party. They think of something much different and outside of the kingdom of God. But the reality is, you know, God has put in all of our hearts the longing, we're looking forward to that time when we're with him forever. And it's not that kind of party, but it's a kingdom of God party. And we'll have a desire to gather with him at the greatest feast. You know, Jesus' first miracle, and when you think of miracles, we sang about it in the very first song. Every miracle that Jesus performed that we have recorded and all the rest of his miracles, in the Bible they're called signs and wonders. They're pointing to that day when there's going to be no more sickness. They're pointing to that day when there's not going to be any more prodigals. They're pointing to that day when everything is going to be whole and everything is going to be healthy. And Jesus performed his very first miracle at what? A party, right? The reception of this wedding in Cana, a marriage feast. You know, Christianity is not a sour and dour religion. Walk into church, oh, it's 10:30. I did make it in on time, so I get extra points for that today in heaven. And we just come and wonder how, if they were going to celebrate his 25th and the pastor's still preaching, and how long is this going to take? And the church is about joy, because the kind of parties that the kingdom of God is about joy, that joy unspeakable, right? That joy that the world didn't give it to us, and I'm glad the world can't take it away from us either. And that's the kind of people that we are. Now, this weekend, like every other weekend of the year, there are false parties like Mardi Gras. What do you mean by false parties, Pastor? I mean, people go and they get drunk. They try to forget what happened last week and what they're doing this weekend, and they're hoping that next week is better. That's not the kind of party that we're about trying to forget about our responsibilities and forget about everything bad that's happened in our life. Kingdom of God parties are where you get in your right mind, you're clothed in his righteousness, and you rejoice at everything God has done for you through his Son, Jesus Christ. And you're thankful for grace, you're thankful for mercy, then you rejoice. Yeah, you've got some regrets. You wish you would have done some things different, but you know that God has taken the things that the enemy meant for harm, and he's turned those for good in our life. And he's working things out, as we sang earlier. Now, who is it that actually gets into this banquet? Who is it that God honors? Let me give you four quick thoughts from the text. The first is those who trust God's non-negotiable timetable. His non-negotiable timetable. The story says that this man prepared a great feast, and he sent out invitations, and when the banquet was ready, that was the time to come. Not later down the road, and he said, come, the banquet is ready, but they all began to make excuses. I bought a field, I bought 5 pair of oxen, I just got married, I can't come. How many of you heard, most of us, if not all of us, know this phrase, timing is everything. Timing is everything. Timing is important. You know, there's some people in life who'd be late to their own funeral, right? Those who are always late to the party, to the event. Well, God doesn't call us to be late comers. He calls us to be on time. He calls us to be ready and to be prepared. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, it says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at what? Just the right time, and he died for us sinners. He came at the kairos moment, not the calendar or the clock moment. He came in the fullness of time, the right time, according to God's timetable. Now, as we look at these excuses, There are excuses about meeting. I have a meeting about my newest land acquisition, and I've got to get together with my attorneys or my surveyors, and I've got to make sure that everything's right because I'm buying land. And so we assumed that this was a wealthy person who had land, and this was going to be an acceptable excuse. This was an acceptable excuse in wartime, but this isn't an acceptable excuse in the kingdom of God. Second man says, I've got 5 pairs of oxen. That means he was a wealthy man. So he probably had 2 to 5 times the land of everyone else, and he wants to finish the deal. I want to close the deal. I don't want to miss this deal. And this is more important to me than going to the banquet. And then you had the person who was just married. This was an acceptable excuse for some. And perhaps back then, like today, not long ago, I was watching a Jewish marriage reception, and it was a more Orthodox Jewish gathering. And men, you were all on one side of the room, and ladies, you were all on the other side of the room. So I don't know, maybe they said, we just got married, and if we can't sit together, we're not going to go to the banquet. And maybe that was part of what they were thinking about. Today, when we have weddings, people RSVP, and I won't ask for a show of hands who has done this or who has had this done to them, but people will say, oh yeah, we're going to attend, and so the catering hall is engaged, and you buy food for them. I don't know, today people spend $50, $100, $200 a head, I don't know, maybe more than that, and you pay handsomely, and then you get to the reception, and sometimes there are empty seats. Like, do they realize what this cost me? They're not even going to honor me by saying, oh, we were in whatever excuse, and we couldn't come, and you're like, what kind of people are that? They don't even have enough sense to honor the person who's holding the banquet. And, at least be kind enough to respond ahead so somebody else can attend. And that's what happens in this banquet. Somebody else got to attend. God does not postpone his party for anyone. God's not going to postpone his party for anyone. When the rapture takes place, the Bible says two are going to be in bed, one's going to be taken, one's going to be left. Two are in the field. That's it. There's not a second rapture or a third rapture. There's one rapture when he comes to take his church, his people, back to himself. No excuse is good enough in the kingdom. Doesn't matter how wealthy you are, how important you think you might be, or what's happening in your family. When he calls you to the banquet, that's the time to respond to him. Now, no earthly activity is worth missing the heavenly banquet. There's nothing important enough. Sometimes I think in America you run into some believers like, Jesus, take your time. I'm doing really well now. My business is flourishing and this and that. Be careful of those things that will distract you from God's kingdom and keep you away. And it looks good on the outside, but you've made an excuse and you won't be at the banquet. Now, when I think about these excuses, realize these excuses weren't even sin issues. It wasn't, oh, I've got some adultery to commit. Oh, I've got some banks to rob. Oh, I've got... It was busyness. It was distractions. It was people who are focusing on the here and now and don't realize there's a greater day coming and there's a greater banquet coming and there's something that puts everything else. When you get to that banquet, it doesn't matter how much money you've had on this earth, how popular you've been, you're going to say, I'm glad I'm here. This supersedes everything else in my life that I've have experienced. But it has to be on God's timetable. God has a timetable for your life. He's got a timetable for my life. He opens doors that no man can close, and then sometimes he closes doors. And for us, we need to respond accordingly to his timetable if we're going to be honored. Let me give you a second thought from the text. God honors those who understand God's immeasurable grace. His immeasurable grace. He turned to the host and he said, when you put a luncheon or banquet on, don't invite friends, relatives, people who can repay you. That your reward is, you're going to have it then. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. What does that mean, not repay you? That means they're there according to grace. They're not there because you're going to get something back. These are people who are probably not going to bring flowers to the gathering. They're not going to bring you a box of chocolates. They may not even write you a thank you card after. In fact, these are basically ceremonially unclean people. These are people the priest would not even want to be around. The rabbis, they wouldn't want to touch them. Remember when the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of the rabbi Jesus' garment? Who touched me? She was unclean. She wasn't supposed to be around. They were going to be invited all because of the grace of the host. You haven't done anything for me. You won't be able to earn your way in here, and I'm going to invite you anyway. You know what? None of us in this room, watching online, no one can earn God's grace. No one here. Well, Pastor, you know what I did? You know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm planning on doing? Doesn't matter. You're here because of God's immeasurable grace, and you have to do that. You know, some people who are bad, kind of pridefully, they think, oh, I'm so bad, I could never get into the banquet. That's a lie. It doesn't matter how good or bad you've been. You're going to get there. You can be invited because of God's grace. Then there are people who are, quote, unquote, good people. They want to be accepted because of their works. Well, I've done this, Pastor, and I've done that, and here's my Christian resume and all the wonderful things I've done, and I don't really need God's grace. I've earned my way into the kingdom. I told you not long ago about one of the billionaires in America who said he had given so much philanthropically. He said he has a place in heaven. He's earned his way there. It's like, you just don't get it. You just don't get it. Everything you have because God allowed you to have that. And it's God's grace in your life. It's what year you were born, what century you were born, what continent you were born on. Everything in your life is about God's grace. God will say, sorry, I never knew you. To people who worked in his name, did miracles in his name, had reverent in front of their names, or had doctor or bishop or whatever else, be many of them, Jesus will say, sorry, I never knew you. Why? Because they didn't understand it's all by God's grace. God's grace in our life. Pride, good pride and bad pride will keep us from walking humbly before God. Because when you know it's his grace, you have to walk in humility. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and 6 says, in the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you, read this with me, dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. Doesn't matter if you came with Neiman Marcus stuff on or Kmart or Walmart or secondhand shop. That's not what's important. The clothing that's important is clothe yourself with humility. For God opposes the proud, but he does what? He gives grace to the humble. How many of you, your husband or wife really needs a lot of grace, and you've given them a lot of grace, and you realize God gives them even more grace? So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, there's timing there again, what will happen? He will lift you up in honor. If you walk humbly, if you know you're here by God's grace, everything you've earned is by God's grace, he will lift you up. You know, historically, non-Christian philosophers have mocked the thought of humility. Friedrich Nietzsche castigated as part and parcel of a perverted morality. But let me give you a definition of humility that's helpful. It's a bent knee stance of awed and grateful awareness that existence is a gift of grace. So your being here is a gift of grace. That inscrutable mercy which, having called a person out of non-being, sustains him moment by moment from lapsing back into nothingness. Breathe in with me one moment. It's God's grace that your heart's beating right now, that you can breathe that air. You could be gone in a moment's time. You didn't come with anything, and you're going to leave with nothing. But, you know, in between, it's all God's grace in our lives, his immeasurable grace. We get an invitation to that great banquet because of God's grace. Because of God's grace, because of who Jesus is, and not because of who I am or who you are. It's all because of grace. That's how you get into the party. That's how you're honored. Third thought, if you're taking notes, following along, God honors those who welcome the needy and oppressed. Those who welcome the needy and oppressed. Invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And then after there were still seats at the table, he said, go into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you can find so the house will be full. The kingdom of God is not about A-listers. The kingdom of God is about J-listers. Jesus people. People who are there by God's grace. People who are crippled and lame and blind and all those things spiritually and even physically. And he invites us in. You know, historically, it's the educated, the wealthy, the social influencers, and the famous that tend to discount their need of God. And they look at the rest of us with some disdain. Oh, that you've sinned. Oh, you know, we're beyond that sin thing. But what was the mission of Jesus? Luke said in, recorded in Luke 4, he says, the words of Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring what? Good news to the poor. How many of you know the poor don't get good news very often, do they? Some of you were that way. Some of you are still struggling. I got good news for you. Jesus loves you, and he's working on your behalf. He sent me to proclaim that what? The captives will be released, and that the blind will see. That the what? Oppressed will be set free. And that, well, here's that time thing again. The time of the Lord's favor has come. You know, as American churches, so many American churches have strayed from the Bible and what God has called them to do. And you see it in some of the, I'll call it some mainline, or maybe we'll call it liberal, whatever, churches. They have their annual meetings and they're focused on their multi-billion dollar endowments and want to make sure that every dollar of those endowments is going to green funds and they're not supporting anything else beyond. And they lead with their embrace of abortion and personal identification, and that's what they're all about. But I'm glad for the Pentecostals and the Baptist and the Bible-believing. We don't have endowments here. We have our endowments in heaven. We're laying up treasures there. We're trying to spread the word of Jesus Christ and the love of Jesus Christ. We're more focused on telling people about Jesus than anyone else because he's done something for us. He's taken us maybe from the other side of the railroad tracks, and he's come. We're even the crippled, the halt, the lame. We're about spreading the good news. It's us. The church is from the other side of the railroad tracks that still believes Jesus saves. Jesus saves. He is still saving, and he can save anyone, anywhere. But we believe Jesus sets the captives free from addiction, pornography, power, anger, all of those things. And we don't pray to an ambiguous higher power up there somewhere, and we're going to think good thoughts. You see that on, you know, television sometimes. Well, somebody died. Well, let's think good thoughts towards their family. Well, what are my good thoughts going to do? I can pray for them. That's going to do something. Good thoughts don't change heaven. It's prayer, and we believe that in the name of Jesus. I had one of our teachers that teaches in a upscale private school. And he's has a theological degree, and his school came to him, and he said, you know, we'd like for you to be the chaplain for our school. And he says, no, you probably don't want me to be chaplain. I only pray in Jesus' name. And they said, no, we don't want you to be chaplain. Thank God for people who still stand up for Jesus and still say the name, the name that sets the captives free. So we welcome the poor, the needy, and the oppressed. Finally, if you want to be honored by God, you have to be one of those who put the kingdom of God first. The kingdom of God has to be first. Jesus said, for none of those I first invited will even get the smallest taste of my banquet. Now let's go back to the context. Looking at this parable, the first invited, who was Jesus talking about? How many of you know Jesus liked to make people angry? He wasn't like me. I've got the gift of causing trouble and trying to upset people maybe, but it wasn't that kind of gift. But he was talking to the Jews who had distorted what God had set in motion. And so he was talking about them. The first invited was the nation of Israel. They had the law. They had everything. They were supposed to be a light to the world. They were supposed to live such a blessed life that the rest of the world looked at them and said, how can we have that? We want some of that. But they weren't doing it. They were the first invited. What kept them? What kept the first invited from the banquet? I think mainly it was unbelief. He was listening to the question that Satan had asked Eve in the garden. Did God really say? And then pride began to fill their life. And so we're proud. We're the ones who are called by God, and no one else gets it. We're the only ones. How sad it is for people who had a clear invitation, but they didn't want their plans disturbed. I've got this to do. I've got that to do. I can quote the Torah. I can quote the Bible. I go to Trinity every Sunday morning, I'm involved in a local church. And yet for many that we think, wow, they're wonderful Christians, unfortunately, they may not be. They may be too busy with life. Jesus must be Lord of all. Because if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord of anything, right? He's got to be Lord of all in your life. Jesus does not have any part-time followers. When he called his disciples, it was now. Drop the nets. Drop the tax collecting. Whatever you're doing, come and follow me. They didn't say, we'll be there in a year, so let us get our house in order. Remember the story of Elijah, the blessing and the leadership and the anointing that was going to pass to Elisha. And Elisha was in his field, and he dropped it. He followed him. It was the right time. Nothing can come before Jesus. Money, marriage, plans, values, nothing. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek the kingdom of God, what? Above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Is there anybody here that God's given you everything you need? He's given me everything I need. He's given me more than I deserve, because it's by his grace that what he has given us, he has given us everything we need. You know, there's an honor roll in heaven. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. I pray that your name is written there, that you're putting him first. Does that mean you're living a perfect life? No. Only I live. No. Nobody lives a perfect life. No, nobody can do that. It's not that. But it's about striving to put Jesus first in your life. Listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit when he says to you to do something. Or maybe he convicts you because you don't want to be around the lame and the blind and the oppressed. And maybe we don't want to think about that side of the railroad tracks. Maybe that's the challenge for you. One day, everyone listed, people from every tribe, from every tongue, every nation. You know what we're going to find out probably? There's probably going to be a lot more people from the rest of the world than America. Do you know where Pentecostalism is growing the fastest? The southern continents, Latin America, the continent of Africa. We talked about a couple weeks ago, Iran, around the world. There are Christians in Ukraine that are going to have more rewards than we have today, that are facing down evil in the form of this war that's going on. Let me ask you a couple questions. What's keeping you from putting God first? What's that distraction? What is that excuse you've been making? What is that? Second question is, what is keeping you from having a heart for the least of these? Is there something, maybe for some it's the pain of looking back, that's where I came from, and it's a reminder. I mean, you know, we all need reminders of where we came from before Jesus. We all need reminders of his grace in our life. For some it's looking at some, yeah, but that group, that culture, they do this, they do that. How many of you know God loves that culture as much as he loves your culture? God loves that generation as much as he loves your generation. God's grace is there. I love this part of the story where a man sitting at the table with Jesus, he exclaimed, we read earlier, what a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. What a blessing it will be. Every Sunday morning we have a banquet, don't we, at 10:30. We gather together as believers. Just a little glimpse into what it's going to be. What a blessing it will be. In a moment, we're going to receive communion. Communion's a solemn reminder of the price that was paid so we can enjoy the joys of heaven forever and ever. One day, we'll gather around and we'll understand. One day, we'll say, what was I even thinking about? Why was that so important in my life? Why did I allow that to keep me from God's best? I don't want to be thinking about that when I'm at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I want to be thinking that, God, everything you told me was true. Everything you said, every promise you kept in my life, God, and I'm here by your grace and your grace alone. I know I did some things for you, and hopefully I've laid up some treasures, but even if I didn't, I'm glad just to be in your presence. God wants to honor that kind of an attitude. If you have communion, I invite you to pick it up and invite everyone to stand as our musicians and singers are coming back. If you're listening and you're saying, well, Pastor, how do I get into the kingdom of God? I don't understand it. Well, let me give you three steps that begin that process, A, B, and I think I said D last week, but it is C that comes after D, as I was told. Some of you remember. Some of you remember my faults. You shouldn't do that. A, B, and C. A is you have to admit that you need God's grace in your life. Admit your failures. Admit the big theological word with three letters in English is sin. Admit that there's sin in your life. B, you have to believe that Jesus died on the cross. He rose from the dead. And let me add to that that he's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. You have to believe that he's the Son of God. When he said he's the Son of Man, that's who he is. He's seated at the right hand of the Father right now. Then C, the choice. You've got to choose to follow him. Well, what does that mean, Pastor? I have to give up this? I have to give up that? No, you've got to gain this and gain that. Everything is about gaining God's grace in your life, okay? It's not. There are things that you'll look at him and say, why did I even do that? Why did I think this was going to bring me happiness? I spent this much and this much and this much, and I still don't. Why did I keep doing that? Because when you find Jesus, you find happiness when you choose him. So I invite you to do that as we pray before we receive communion, and then we will pray over communion and receive it together. Father, we come to you in the powerful name of Jesus. We thank you that you didn't save us to make us sour and dour. You saved us to set us free and to fill us with your grace and with the joy that the world can't take away from us. So, Father, as some friends right now would say, Jesus, I admit my brokenness and my sin in my life, and that I've tried to party and I've tried to find fulfillment, and I realize I'm still broken. B, I believe that you sent Jesus into this world so that I could be invited to the banquet. So I wasn't maybe on that first list that doesn't appear, but I know that you love me and you've invited me, so thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and being resurrected from the dead so that I know there is an eternity, that this life is not all that there is. And see, I choose today. Jesus, I invite you to speak to me, to give me wisdom and to give me direction in my life. Father, thank you for allowing me to be part of the kingdom of God. Now the elements that we hold in our hands, at home maybe you have crackers or bread and juice, we invite you to receive communion with us. Bread is a reminder that he came to be with us. He came to be with us. If he hadn't come, we couldn't go and be with him. The only way to eternal life is through Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for this bread. We ask your blessing on it. We ask your healing power to flow through our bodies today. We ask for all the provisions that were made possible on the cross to be manifest in our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your life. Let's eat together. Father, thank you for this cup. You're the only one that could pay the price for our sins. It reminds us of grace, unmerited favor of God, God's riches at Christ's expense. Father, for those times when we've felt better about ourselves than we should have, we've thought more highly than we should have, or for those times we thought we've done things that are so egregious that you could never forgive us. Forgive us for our good pride and our bad pride. Thank you for grace. Thank you for doing more than we could ever anticipate in our lives and giving us freedom. Thank you that our sins are not just blotted out for a few days or until we sin again. They're gone forever and ever because you've made a choice not to remember them. Your grace. Let's drink together with thanksgiving. Just take a moment, thank him for grace. Would you just thank him for grace? Thank him that there's your names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and there's an invitation to the greatest banquet of all time with people from all over the world, from every age, who've called on the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Can you just lift those words up to him? Just say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Deal with my pride. Help me walk in humility. Help me to be one of those who treats this world like you treat this world, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for forgiveness and grace in our lives. Amen and amen. You just prayed that prayer. Well, online, you could just text in and message in, and we'll get you a Bible if you're here. On your way out in the back of the sanctuary is a New Here table, and we have a new translation of the Bible that we preach from, and we'd love to just know that you've made a decision and help you in that process. Well, let's stand and can remain standing and sing and offer God worship through our song today.